From Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield, Illinois, this is the Closing Markup Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the 25th day of January, 2018. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here to look at the cash grain side of the situation. We should talk with Mike Tenura as well. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. And along the way, we'll discuss Farm Credit Illinois' crop insurance possibilities for you as we go through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Dan, thanks for being here today. Just a reminder for folks that you and I are talking at about 10:30 this morning because I'm out and about with Farm Credit Illinois in Litchfield and Jacksonville and traveling quite a bit of the day. However, when we look at the marketplace at this hour, soybeans up 6 cents, corn just about flat for the day, maybe a penny lower at the hour that you and I are talking. This is the third day in a row this week that we've had a higher marketplace for soybeans. Have we turned the corner here that soybeans are starting to technically look better yet or not?
Well, beans continue to look better. They continue to improve. I mean, they're kind of, I still view the soybeans as the leader, and the other two commodities are more of a follower. Now, soybeans, since making their low back there in early January, just looking at the chart, that March contract now has retraced more than 62% retracement of the decline off of that early December high point. So if we could maintain some closes today above this 62% retracement, which kind of sits around 996, I don't know if I got my lines exactly drawn perfectly here on the computer monitor, but it's somewhere in that 996. If we could get some closes above that, the next Fibonacci retracement level that technicians will be watching will be a run-on up to the 78% retracement, which would put us right in that 10-10 area. And if that doesn't stop it, well, then you basically take a run at that December high point on March corn futures, which is somewhere in that 10-27, 10-28 range. So the fact that March soybeans have exceeded the 62% retracement level, and if we could maintain a close like that today, that does open the door for a complete retracement of that December decline or that decline off of that December high point. Now, a word of caution. On the short term, many of your technical indicators are at a point where this upside momentum could begin to slow and have some kind of setback in here. So it wouldn't surprise me to see some kind of setback. But seasonally, soybeans are on track, I think, to climb higher as we go through the month of February and on into March. This is the time of year where the trade begins to kind of size up South American crop. So far, that South American crop, at least it's not getting any bigger. In many cases, one could maybe say it's getting a little smaller. And with the USDA final crop production number behind us, that's all old news. So we're all kind of focused on new crop prospects here in North America. And I think that's kind of the key driving force for right now. Corn futures, I noticed on the wire services yesterday, there was a lot of talk that we made a 7-week high, but we really still haven't done anything. We're still in this 340, 360 trading range. It's just that we're up nearing the upper end of that trading range. Technically, in order to really open up the gates for March corn futures to a good run to the upside or something meaningful, you would have to have a couple closes above this 360 area. And then that kind of technically opens the market up maybe for another 10 to 20 cents. But a word of caution again is your short-term technical indicators are at a point where this upward momentum could begin to stall and we could have a downward correction. But just as in soybeans, corn, I think, is seasonally in position to climb higher as we go on into February and into the early part of the growing season. And the market is going to size up, you know, crop productions out of South America and what the acreage levels look like here in the United States and whether or not what kind of weather pattern may or may not be shaping up for the spring planting season.
Can I ask you a question about a couple of the outside markets? For instance, we're hearing a lot of folks talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average and yelling FOMO. Don't miss this one. However, my concern there is that we've climbed a long ways since President Trump was elected more than a year ago, and that there could be in the offing, I would think, some kind of correction. Want to know what you think about that. And then crude oil at $65, $66 a barrel seems like an awfully long ways off of its lows as well. Where do you think we are in the larger marketplace?
Well, let's start with crude oil because it's a commodity related. Yes, crude oil is climbing higher. And by the way, that really makes the Texas A&M donors really with some. our new coach will probably pay him $20 million a year if Jimbo doesn't work out. But we're going to have some deep pockets at Texas A&M with this crude oil. But one thing that's driving crude oil is consumption. I mean, it is disappearing off the shelves, but we do have a large supply. But one thing that we got to keep in mind with crude oil, the producers do a better job of balancing supply and demand. So crude oil is able to stay at values at agricultural products have a hard time doing because farmers do a terrible job of managing supply and demand. And that is one of the reasons why the ag commodities are probably the dog of the basket of commodities. Now, the weaker dollar has been a big boost to ag commodities as well as other commodities because we are making some newer lows for the dollar. You know, it started its decline a year ago, and then we had kind of a upward move toward the end of last year, and then now the thing has turned back down and we're making new lows for the decline. So that is, I think, giving at least commodities that we export in a world market, it at least keeps them competitive in the world market. And we definitely need that with USDA's export projections currently on the books if we're going to meet them. And I know export sales here were delayed today because of the government shutdown on Monday. But we need to see a pretty strong week sales number here if USDA's export projections are going to be met in the long run. Taking a look at the stock market, it's been very stout. There's no doubt about it. We've had a major run to the upside. The fundamentals behind it right now is that the tax law is going to allow companies to buy back their stocks. And if they do indeed buy back stocks, then that will kind of raise prices of the stocks. So, you know, the underlying fundamentals of the stock market look awfully good. But a lot of the upward movement that we've had in the stock market has been kind of priced in, I think, based upon the Trump election over a year ago. When you look at your technical indicators of the stock market, they are definitely in that overbought category. Definitely signals that there is some downside price vulnerabilities in a form of a correction that may turn into maybe something deeper. I have been watching the stock market significantly because I trade the S&P 500s, and there's at least the last few days in the intraday market, there's more downside volume when the market moves lower. So it is indicating to me, at least on the stock market, is that there might be some people wanting to take some money off the table after this significant run and all the good news that's been built in the market. But again, it continues to move higher, and until that trend stops, I guess it's going to continue to do so. But when you look at the technicals, you begin to question how much more up is in the stock market without some kind of meaningful correction.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Very well.
All right, that's Dan Zwicker, of course. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We're now joined by Dane Staton. He is Vice President for Crop Insurance at Farm Credit Illinois, out on the road with me today in Jacksonville and Litchfield to discuss crop insurance. Dane, thanks for being with us. What's primary message from Farm Credit Illinois this year to producers as it relates to crop insurance?
Our primary message to farmers would be just to have an open communication through this renewal season coming up on March the 15th. More or less, let us know exactly where your operation is going, if there's any changes to the operation coming in. Knowing where your input costs are with this efficiency cycle that we've been going through, so that way we can more or less kind of get your coverage to where it needs to be without maybe even having to do the highest price premiums. If there's certain things that are going on in your operation that we need to know about, we can accommodate those to make sure that you have the right coverage in place that can allow you to still make those marketing decisions early in the year and have that safety net behind you and still make sure that you keep your operation profitable.
That's a nice word, an efficiency cycle. I like that very much. But it means, as you've just said, that producers have really tight budgets. They need to take a look at them, and they may need to back off some of their crop insurance. I think that's what you told us, depending on where they stand in their operations, and you can help folks take a look at their budgets, at their banking statements, and get them in a position where they can actually market a crop and put one in the ground.
Yeah, that's the unique thing about Farm Credit Illinois is we more or less just focus, at least the crop insurance side of our business, more or less just focus specifically on crop insurance, and that gives us the time and opportunity to understand all the new policy procedures and private products that are out there. And then we can also utilize our lending side of the operation to make sure that we fit each one's individual farming operation the way it needs to be fit. And yeah, you know, I think I coined that from our CEO, to be honest with you, Tom Tracy, and I really liked it also. And it really is an efficiency cycle right now. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of farmers out there trying to figure out where they can shave $4 or $5 off their cost and operation, and maybe crop insurance isn't the best route to take for that shaving some dollars, but if there's the opportunity there to look into maybe not taking out something or waiting on a policy to see if we can add it later or something like that, you know, those are all things that definitely should be on the table, because fact of the matter is, I mean, the margins are really tight and things do need to be on the chopping block. So just knowing your cost of operations, cost of inputs, and being able to, you know, check your crop insurance each and every year to make sure you're buying what you need to be buying is really the safest thing before March the 15th.
And honestly, it does make the bankers happy in the end.
Oh, yeah. I know our crop or our lending side really likes to know that not only does the farmer himself or herself have that backing, but at least on our lending side, I'm sure the other banks same way, they know that they're backed on their side too, as long as there's a crop insurance policy that's guaranteeing revenue and guaranteeing production in the long run.
It's a dual form risk management, one on the marketing side and one on the lending side, both.
Yeah, and it's really a hand-in-hand operation with Farm Credit. I mean, whenever we get a new customer on the lending side, we make sure to ask and bring him, you know, him or her into my office to make sure that they understand what crop insurance is and just understand that it's out there and available. Maybe it's not for he or her, but they certainly know what their options are. And I know from a Farm Credit perspective, they wouldn't be in the business if they didn't think that it was necessary for our members.
Some of this is a bit routine for producers now. They've been using crop insurance for a while. But just a quick reminder, some of the things that you want them to have in hand when you sit down with them so that you understand their operations. For instance, I suppose any changes in land and property and counties.
Yeah, first and foremost, just from application top down, is if there's any changes to the operation. I know I've been to some meetings talking about LLCs and being able to limit their liability from an entity standpoint. You know, any of those entity changes really need to be addressed at application time, have to be addressed for that matter. Along with that, any kind of changes in the operation from land perspective, so we can add that land early. You know, with added land, there could be some quirks to it. So knowing as early as possible whether you get that T yield because it's added land, or you're going to get the simple average of your total APH. You know, those are things that we can address whenever we sit down. And as long as we know it first, and it's not a surprise in the long run, we can definitely have our ducks in a row just to make sure that policy goes as smooth as possible throughout the growing season. Other things to have in mind are just kind of your budgets and numbers. I mean, I feel like I'm echoing in here, but those are just things that if you know your numbers, it's going to be a lot easier to make those decisions in the long run rather than kind of shooting at the hip.
Hey, thanks so much, Dane. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you very much.
Dane Staton is Vice President of Crop Insurance for Farm Credit, Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the situation in the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here from Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt, what have you been watching in the market most closely? And I think maybe the question really is, what surprises you the most over the last week or so?
Yeah, you know, so the January report comes out, and I would say that it was bearish corn. Everyone would probably agree with that. Wasn't as bearish as some thought it might be. Soybean report was considered a little bit friendly. But we're still looking at a carryout of 470 million bushels. So I wouldn't say that it was altogether bullish, but yet you come in here and you settle the market higher the day of the report by a fair sum. And we have not settled lower since the day of the report. So we're working on that. 9 days in a row of higher closes, which is somewhat phenomenal considering how abysmal the market was acting going into that report.
Do you think we can continue to follow through?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, the way I'd like to answer it is this. I see this market move as a gift. I feel like if you've got cash beans or new beans, you've been waiting to move, you're at significantly more profitable levels than what you were going in the report. And let's face it, most people were down in the dollars. And so, yeah, I want to look at my profit margins. If I can make it work, I want to make that incremental sale by all means. Most of the producers we work with can make quite a bit of money at 10-10 November soybeans. We're in excess of that as we speak, and I think that it's definitely a place where I want to make some sales.
And on the corn side?
Yeah, I think on corn it's a little more complicated. It's harder for guys to get to black ink on corn at these price levels, but I do see, you know, we're getting back closer to the spring insurance average last year on D's corn, you know, pushing up on this 390, you know, dime away from four. I don't know that we can get to four, and I don't want people to get super friendly after we've gotten the rally we're all hoping for. And so as far as corn goes, an incremental sale on someone who is solidly in the black makes really good sense. But I'm probably a little bit more eager to make bean sales than corn sales at this point.
So it's kind of a cautionary tale. Do make some soybean sales, I suppose, especially old crop. And maybe if you haven't started new crop, think about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of the reason I'm in this is that I do feel like the ratio still being 2.6-1 on beans to corn. Corn acreage could be a fairly low number because swing acres are going to be tough to pry away from soybeans at this point.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Don.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason, joined now by Mike Tenura. He's a T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Todd. Always a pleasure being here.
Let's talk about South America. We've been doing this, of course, as we usually do in the wintertime, but with more intensity because of the weather conditions across the growing regions there. Argentina has been front and center for quite some time, several weeks, a couple of months, in fact. Can you tell me a bit about what you see this week?
Well, the big concern is in Argentina is that it hasn't rained all that much over the last 1 month, 2 month, and 3 month periods. So we're basically in a drought across most of Argentina. One of the forecast uncertainties over the next several days regards rainfall activity. We will see some thunderstorms here and there in Argentina all the way through Sunday. And if any one of those were to outperform expectations, that would take a little bit of the pressure off of the dryness issues that we're seeing now. But at this point, it looks like most of the rain is going to focus on the northern quarter of corn production and the northern 10 to 15% of soybean production. That will leave the rest of corn and soybeans in Argentina fairly dry with only a few hit or miss thunderstorms, primarily on Saturday. So that kind of sets the stage for what we're leading into, which is that next week looks fairly dry. We're not going to see much rain next week. And so when you put together how dry it's been, the lack of heavy rain over the next several days, and then another week of drying, you start to draw up some fairly significant concerns for both corn and soybeans.
And as you move northward, in Brazil, they have begun harvest, though it's been delayed by rainfall. Any relief there?
Well, it hasn't been delayed by rainfall yet, at least in the northern areas of Brazil. In the southern areas in Paraguay, yes, I would agree. It's been a little too wet there, and soybean harvesting is not taking place quite yet. But keep in mind, most of this harvesting is going to start in the north and then work its way to the south. Now, we are seeing a little bit of harvesting, and that's primarily because it hasn't rained very much at all over the last 1 to 2 weeks in these northern areas of Brazil. The concern there is actually going to become exact opposite of what we have for Argentina. And that's because the forecast looks fairly ominous for these northern growing areas once we get into next week. Essentially, the reason that it turns dry in Argentina is because this cool front goes very far to the north. But that ends up in the northern areas of Brazil, where a significant proportion of their soybeans are produced. So we're going to start to see repeated rounds of heavy rain in the northern growing areas. And that will begin right at the same time that we'd like to start seeing soybean harvesting begin. And remember, right after that, we plant corn. So we're basically going to be setting up a heavy rain scenario right on top of that corn and soybean area, starting here in about a week or so, and then lasting through the first 7 to 10 days of February. So Todd, all this is going to come down to what happens right after the first 10 days of February. We start to dry out in Brazil and start to moisten up in Argentina. That will start to alleviate some of the concerns that exist today, but that's still about 2 weeks out, and that's why the weather is going to stay very important here for a while.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Talk to you next week.
That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather from Chicago, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.